The 1895 podcast is brought to you by Off the Ball, official media partner of Shelburne FC. The 1895, the official Shelburne podcast, exclusive to Patreon.
The ball sinks in towards where Jamie Rogers is up. Rogers sees the left! Oh!
I'm angry, Tony, I have to be honest.
Murray! Marquise Shelburne! Noel Murray! Has she won it for the Reds? What a goal!
Here's a chance up! Shane Farrell! And Shelsley 2-0!
I'm sorry, Tony, but I'm angry as well. I was angry before the game. I've been angry for a long time.
And she gets the winning goal here. Slattery! Oh. Into the back of the net! That is what champions do! That is what winners do! Pearl Slattery!
Over the top by Sullivan. Hughes, goal! Shelburne lead!
His cross, Stephen!
Kilduff is the substitute and he scored! Shell's lead!
We are in to the 94th minute
and yeah! It's all over! Shelburne FC are first division champions!
It's our just reward. We deserve this. We deserve this big time.
Here's your host, Stephen Doody.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the 1895 podcast, the official podcast of Shelburne Football Club, brought to you in association with our proud media partner Off the Ball. You'll find new episodes of the podcast as well, by the way, every week at lunchtime, first on the Go Loud app and all major podcast platforms. This week, I'm joined by Darren Cleary and the returning Rebecca Cray. Rebecca, how are you getting on?
I'm good, lads. How's things?
Very well. Thanks for joining us. Adam, thanks for having us.
Not a bother. It was a busy week for Shells. Obviously, there's no action for the men's this past week with the international football, and then obviously this week coming with the cup game. So there's a bit of a break for the men's football, but we do have plenty of women's action to go through. And then, of course, we have a new segment that we'll be debuting at the end of the show, not to be taken too seriously, named the Richie Rankings, but we'll get into that as it comes to the end. I suppose we're going to I'll take a brief look at the academy action that happened the weekend. A bit of a mixed bag for Shells in the men's and women's under-17s and under-19s fixtures. We'll start off with the men's under-19s. We saw Shells lose 3-2 to Shamrock Rovers, goals from Bemi Arubi and Darren Murta. And then in the under-17s, saw Shells on 4-2 over 3. Mark Isong, Leo Healy, Dan Ring and Aaron Maloney on the score sheet there. And likewise, in the women's under-19s, another loss for Shells against Shamrock Rovers away. Ruby Atkinson on the score sheet for Shells. And then finally, in the under-17s for women football, saw Shells win 4-1 away to Orford. Ava Brennan on the score sheet twice. Savannah Keogh and Ruby McCarthy all on the score sheet. It was a great week, of course, for the academy for Shells in Europe as well, which saw young Hannah Healy become the youngest player to play in Champions League. I suppose, Rebecca, that's where it'll start. You're back from Lithuania, I suppose. How tired are you? It was a long way back for you, wasn't it?
It wasn't easy, yeah, to say the least. You asked me how I was there earlier in the show, and I forgot to say how tired I was. But, I can't imagine how the players are feeling, if I'm feeling this tired. Long enough trip, yeah. We left Lithuania early enough yesterday morning, went through Latvia, into East Midlands in England and eventually landed in Dublin at I think it was about 10 o'clock last night or after. Really, really tiring, but look, it was a great week. Obviously, the first result didn't go to plan and we ended on a high with the result against Cardiff. But listen, it brought the group together really well, you know, and fantastic experience, as you mentioned, for the academy girls coming through. And obviously the girls who have never experienced it before, you know, great for them to be around it, and obviously the girls who have experienced it as well have enjoyed it as much as the rest have. So yeah, really, really good week overall.
Yeah, I suppose we'll start off with the Glasgow game last Wednesday, I believe, wasn't it? Shells falling to defeat, unfortunately for them. But Darren, I suppose we went toe to toe with Glasgow, just wasn't to be in the end.
Yeah, it was mad. I think in the first kind of 25-30 minutes, you'd be wondering who was the team fancied, because it's probably fair to say they would have been seen as strong contenders. They're kind of, they've been the standard setters, I suppose, in Scottish women's football. But I thought we did really, really well. I was just saying before we came on, like on a different day, that tournament's there for the taking. I thought the team selection, I think he got it right. There was good options off the bench, and just I think the manner, the goals we conceded, and particularly the time we conceded them, will probably linger for a while. Looked to be an awful lot of talk. Was there a foul in the build to the first goal? There probably was, but like sometimes you just don't get those lucky breaks, and it definitely felt like luck was not on our side. But at the same time, as a club, I think, you know, they just really proud. They fought, they died with their boots on. I thought they were excellent, really, really were, and deserved more from that game. I don't know if the scoreline is a fair reflection on how the match was over the full 90 odd minutes.
Yeah, I suppose that's the thing, isn't it? At the highest level of football, is fine margins, and Shells unfortunately were on the opposite side of it on the day. Rebecca, what did you think?
Yeah, more or less the same. Look, I think going into the game, the girls were quite confident. You know, I think we were quite confident, you know, that we could maybe do something in the group. You know, obviously there was not a bit of complacency in them going into that first game. They knew how good Glasgow City are, and you know, have been over the course of their domestic, accolades they've won back in Scotland, and obviously then they've a bit of European experience. You know, got quite far in the Women's Champions League a few years back, and obviously Noelle and Kiva had played there. They knew how they operated. You know, there was still a core group of the girls at Glasgow with the likes of Hayley Lauder there, you know, Lee Gibson, Joe Love, obviously Leanne Ross, who's their coach there, used to play for Glasgow, you know, played for a long time there. So look, we knew what to expect. I think the approach was very, very good in terms of the girls, you know, attitude towards the game. They all dug deep. Everyone gave an amazing account of themselves, you know, and worked to the death, as you said. You know, I think luck wasn't on our side. There was a chance for Christy Gray in the game that she could have maybe finished on another day. And in this at this level, you know, you need to be taking your chances in order to get something from games. You know, the first half, I think, is probably some of the best football I've seen us play, you know, especially at this level. And looking at it going in at half time, I think we thought we could maybe go out and get something in the second half. But Glasgow just came out all guns blazing, you know, they stepped it up a gear and maybe just showed that little bit, you know, bit of edge. I don't know if fitness played its part as well. I'm not too sure. But look, they took their chances when they came. And yeah, look, the referee, we can maybe question on a few decisions and a few calls. And as you said, that kind of run up to the goal, I don't know if it was a case of Leah Doyle just was caught, you know, on the lead up to the goal, but I don't know if it was enough to call back. But as I said, look, it was a 2-0 game in the end. Don't know if it was a reflection on the performance, but every single one of them, you know, went out there and played to the death and gave it their all for the badge. Yeah.
Was there a sense of frustration after the game, given what had gone on, or was it a case of, look, as you said, fine margins, these things happen in games, and unfortunately at times there's not a whole lot you can do about it?
Sorry, Adam. Yeah, no, the girls were devastated after the game. You know, I think that's a reflection of how much they probably thought they could have maybe got something from the game. You know, that's how disappointed they were. You know, as I said, look, we were toe-to-toe and played some amazing football. It was just about the chances in the end, and sadly those goals that went in, you know, just after halftime, you know, when you're coming out maybe a bit bright, you know, and maybe thinking that you're going to go out on the front foot, but sadly got that bit of a kick to the stomach, you know. But as I said, look, they're well and truly devastated after that first game, but we obviously had to come around quickly to go again for the second game.
Yeah, I'm sure Darren will agree when I say this. There was an immense sense of pride before the game, before a ball was even kicked, that Shells were there, given what they won last season, I suppose, given the turnover as well. And players, and obviously the likes of Jesse Sable and gone over to West Ham, etc. And a lot of new players coming into the side from the States or whatever, and North America, and then a lot of younger players as well from the academy. Does it feel like this is a team that's kind of transitioning at the minute, Rebecca?
Yeah, I think so. Look, we got a few signings in the start of the season. You know, fantastic signings came across, obviously, in Maggie Pierce, who has been beyond immense, I think, for us. You know, she's just, I call her the El Reliable. She's just always there. And I don't know if you've seen in the game, there was a chance where they could have got another goal, and she came out of nowhere. It was like Kung Fu Panda to just block the goal from going in the back of the net. And she just always seems to be there. And obviously, Christy Gray has been electric. You know, she's quite enthusiastic, always looking to go and get on the ball. And obviously then you've got, you know, the likes of Nadine Clare, who's come across from DLR, really, really hard working, tough central midfielder, sweeps up, you know, in there. Really great engine on her. And Kerry Lettman then, as I said, she came on. Really exciting. Another one like Christy and her enthusiasm. She's quite pacey, you know, looking to go at defenders. And that's not to mention, you know, the youth we have coming through. You looked at Hannah Healy coming on there, as you said, made history in being the youngest player ever in the Women's Champions League, which is an amazing kind of thing to say when you're 15 years of age. And obviously Rebecca Devereaux in there as well is another up and coming. You know, she's going to be a fantastic striker, I think. She's just got all the attributes and they want to learn, you know, they want to learn every single day. And you can see that in training sessions when they're going out. And you have great teachers in the likes of Per Slattery and Noelle and Rachel. And again, Lucy O'Rourke, she came on in the second game. She just looked as comfy as ever. We've all kind of made a bit of a joke that she's like a mini Maggie, you know, even in the way she looks. But she's just so calm and collected on the ball and can ping a pass as well. But listen, the future's bright, you know. The past has been very bright. The present is looking good too. But yeah, I think, you know, this run into the latter end of the season is going to be one for the books. You know, I don't think we'll go down without swinging. You know, as I said, we don't focus too much on our other, you know, opponents. But, you know, P-Mount have a hard enough run in coming up to the last few games, and we'll be very much there or thereabouts, knocking on the door.
Yeah, I think that's one thing, you know, it's about the squad. Like, if you look at the social media and stuff, there seems to be a great camaraderie in the team. There seems to be a great, you know, how would you say, like, relationships between each other, and it seems like everyone's kind of looking out for each other and always willing to improve. And I think with Perlo and Noelle there and Rachel Graham, you can't not mention her. It's only a good thing, isn't it, to help bring these young players through?
Most definitely. I think that's what we've prided ourselves on over the years, you know, making that transition from Raheny through to Shelbourne. You know, off the pitch kind of relationships are just as important as how you know, play on the pitch. I think that's what keeps a unit together and kind of solidifies that kind of work rate and team effort that you give for every game. You know, you want to fight for each other. And I think having that great kind of camaraderie, as you said, and togetherness in the dressing room and as I said, off the pitch, just makes it all that better when you're playing for each other and with each other. And I think weeks like that we've just had, you know, there's trials and tribulations. You know, you're tested mentally, you're tested physically against these great kind of opposition, these other teams and oppositions, but like it kind of tests yourself, I suppose, as well as a unit, and how you get along with each other. You know, you're with each other a lot of the time, you know, most of the day you're sharing a room with a teammate that you might not know all too well, but you have to adapt to each other's ways. And you know, it really does test each other's ways, as I said. And they've got on great, and I think this week has really bonded, you know, the group. And you know, we got to enjoy the lows of football and also enjoy the highs as well, you know, and had great fun in the you know, in the meantime. And as I said, looked at the staff as well. We all came together when we had to, and there is definitely a togetherness. And yeah, I'm looking forward to see what way we go now for the next few weeks and months.
Yeah, so he's had a few days off then, following the loss against Glasgow. What did you just get up to? Was anything nice just got down, or was the crack?
We did, yeah. It was actually quite interesting. We were notified that we were going on this like trip to a place called Hill of the Crosses, which is about 15 minutes from where we were staying. And I think it's Shuley, I'm not too sure the pronunciation of the town we were staying in. I've been told about 20 times, lads, so I don't know, my head's just gone at the minute.
But, I couldn't pronounce it last week either, so I just kept saying Lithuania, so I don't blame you.
Some of the pronunciations I've heard from some of the girls, is I won't even repeat them, absolute shockers. But yeah, look, we went to this place called Hill of the Crosses, and it's like this, obviously, holy kind of piece of land where there's like 100,000 or 200,000 crosses just literally plunked in the middle of this field and like a load of hills. And obviously, like, it's this kind of hollowed ground where people go, and you know, I don't know what amazing things have happened there. But yeah, it was a bit of a weird one, to say the least, bit eerie. But look, come here, we made the most of it and had a bit of crack along the way. Yeah, so that was one thing we'd done. Obviously, we just kind of floated about then, you know. There's a shopping centre quite close by, which was different to our trip last year in Slovenia. You know, we were quite in the middle of nowhere last year. So there was a lot to do. Few electric scooters were floating around as well. You've seen girls zooming in and out of places, which kind of had my nerves a bit gone because the traffic comes left and right up the opposite way compared to here. And when you have the likes of, I don't know, the younger girls on there, and the likes of Kiva Keenan, who was now older, it didn't bode well for the nerves. But listen, we made it through unscathed. And yeah, look, it was just a bit of crack. Went out for coffees, things like that. And I think table tennis games were very much at the forefront of everyone's week, with the likes of Pearl Slattery, Noel Murray getting very, very competitive, Amanda McQuillan, and some of the staff members as well. But yeah, it was a good bit of banter flowing, no doubt.
Who was the best at ping pong?
Do you know what? There was a few claims for who was the best. You know, Pearl Slattery held her own, I have to say. Noel did too. Amanda McQuillan was up there. Must give it to her. Who else? I heard Lucy O'Rourke was quite good. I didn't actually see her play. Now, I think she was said to be someone that can maybe just put her hand to anything. She's only a kid, but she definitely held her own. And yeah, I don't know. We didn't actually have a kind of, you know, an end to that. We didn't see who would be the best against each other, but the names I've mentioned have definitely been ones to watch over the course of the week. Yeah.
So following the loss then against Glasgow, there's a bit of a third place playoff against Cardiff. How was the preparation going into that? Like how was the morale? And I'd imagine after losing to Glasgow in a game where you probably felt you could have won, obviously the margins in the game, the fine margins are what defines it, but how did you keep the morale up and how was the preparation going into the game against Cardiff?
Yeah, I think a word that was thrown around, you know, just before we obviously the days before when we were doing a bit of prep, you know, with video analysis and things like that, was just pride. You know, we need to go out here and give a good account of ourselves. We're representing obviously this great club of Shelbourne and obviously the league with the League of Ireland Women's Premier Division and Ireland, you know, and our friends and families. And that was the kind of emphasis, to go out on a high and prove to, you know, not only the country obviously but Europe and, you know, maybe even wider than that, that football is good in Ireland and it's definitely, you know, getting its due recognition obviously coming off the back of the World Cup. But yeah, look, that was basically the main kind of, I suppose, approach. And obviously, you know, it's very easy to let complacency creep in. We went and watched Cardiff against Ginthrop for I think we only lasted maybe 20 minutes. Some of us, you know, some did last a whole lot, but it wasn't the best of quality, let's just say. And I think after seeing Cardiff, we were very much of the, you know, a lot of us were like, oh, we'd like to think we'll beat them. But, you know, you also can't let that complacency creep in. You know, I think the kind of word was, look, obviously go into it, don't be complacent, but obviously have 100% confidence in your ability to go and win it. You know, and it's just about going out there in that second game and taking our chances. I think, you know, I think Steve Williams turned to me at one point in the first half and he goes, geez, we must have had about 85-90% possession, you know, at that point in the first half. And thankfully then, you know, we obviously got the peno and Noelle got the rebound. You know, she wouldn't have lived that down if she had it, just missed it. But obviously then the cracker she scored as well was amazing. With Libby Moore then, obviously, one of our new signings getting on the score sheet. But yeah, as I said, looking about, it was all about pride, you know, going into this last game. You know, we've worked very, very hard to get to the point that we're at now, and you know, we deserve to be in the position that we were in, going out to Europe and representing, as I said, Shelbourne and Ireland, and just go out on a high, I suppose, and get the result that we do deserve.
Going into the game, Dara, what was your immediate thoughts? I suppose it's, you don't want to say dead rubber, but there's not a whole lot on the line other than, you know, pride, and as Rebecca said, representing the league, representing the country. I suppose how tough is it mentally to go for that game?
I think it didn't look too mentally tough at all. Like it's one of those weird ones where I think if the chances that landed us and the bit of luck we had against Cardiff, especially the penalty, the first goal, it's kind of half saved, half hits the post and Noel finishes the rebound. I think if we are as clinical as we were against Cardiff in the first game, I think we would have won the first game. So it was a really good performance. Like there's an awful lot to play for. So I don't think, with how little competitive football that team has had, indeed any team has had over the last few months, I don't think anyone was looking at it as a dead rubber. It's a chance to get out, get minutes under the belt and perform well. Like I would love if we had gone into that Champions League like we did last year with it. Decent run of games under our belts. Like it's been, yeah, so stop start, and then we had the All-Ireland Cup, obviously the break for the World Cup. It just felt like to get any kind of match sharpness would have been really, really difficult. So it's good to see kind of a bit of momentum come back from Europe, because it would have been a hard thing to get back and get up for a cup game, having had, you know, a bye or a down week in the first round, and come back off a loss or a bad performance or a bit sluggish. So I think there was an awful lot in that game, and I wouldn't describe it as a dead rubber. I think it was a very, very important one for the players. And to be fair to them, they all fronted up. They were brilliant.
Yeah, and I think as well, I failed to mention there's a coefficiency as well. If you're looking at the broader picture, you know, for going forward, be it us that gets there or whoever it may be across the league, you know, we have to play for those coefficiencies as well to improve things going forward, you know, and get seeded and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So, look, there was a lot at stake still. You know, we may not have had the option to progress in the competition, but, you know, as I said, look, even it comes down to pride, that coefficiency, all those kind of things. And obviously the momentum now going into the second half of the season, you know, it hopefully will bode well and you know, stand to us. And obviously first up is DLR in the FAI Cup this weekend.
Yeah, Darren brings up a good point there about the World Cup. And I suppose there was a lot of factors going into the game, both the games, that I don't know, maybe it might have disrupted things. I suppose the travel is a big thing. There was a lot of travelling to be done. And then obviously the weather in Lithuania as well. But the World Cup itself represented, I suppose, a big moment in Irish football. It was, you know, former Shells player Kate McCabe getting the goal for Ireland down in Australia. And, you know, it was a big moment. And you would imagine that there was people looking at the World Cup and then seeing Shells in Champions League and, you know, throwing an eye at Shells and, you know, hoping they do well. But overall, Rebecca, do you think the World Cup and obviously the travel, etc., played much of a factor in the results?
Yeah, well, like, you can argue about the whole stop-start of this season. It's been a weird one. I don't think it's something that I've actually experienced in all my years involved in the game here. You know, it was just mind-boggling. I know there's nothing we can do about it now, but going forward, you'd like to hope that, you know, there's a little bit more, kind of, I suppose, I don't know how much of a thought process has gone into it in terms of the stop-startness of this league, but it was definitely a weird one. You know, obviously, the likes of the travel that we had to get to Lithuania was, you know, fairly long on the players, especially, you know, getting out there. It was very much the same as getting back. I know myself, I went out the day before the girls just to make sure everything was in order, I suppose, at the hotel with the kit man, Ross. And, you know, we flew directly into Lithuania and had a 2-hour drive up to the town we were staying in. You know, I don't know what, you know, the logistics side of it, I had no kind of involvement in that. But, like, you know, it was a pretty long journey for them to, you know, to have to get to England, to then get to Latvia, to then get to Lithuania after a bus journey and a plane journey and, you know, a wait around. And, like, those kind of things do come into play. Obviously, you know, you can have the recovery, you know, the opening the legs, the train and all those kind of things. Mentally, it can be exhausting as well. Again, it's not to make excuses, you know. Look, we obviously knew that was the route that we were taking, you know. I don't think it had a huge impact in the girls' approach. You know, all they wanted to do was get out there and play football. And as soon as they touched down, they were very much in that mental state of competition. You know, they want to go out and compete. They want to go out and play football as we always do. And they're very much, you know, good mentally. You know, the girls are very, very good at getting themselves, you know, honed into that whole persona individually, you know, to come together as a collective. And look, I'd say going forward, it might be something that we can look into a little bit more. You know, I don't know if it comes down to financials or what it is. As I said, I can't speak too much on it because I don't know a lot on it. But I don't think you can have too many excuses in terms of how things went. You know, you can't blame it on a World Cup. You know, you can't blame it on travel. They do have their parts to play, I'm sure. But the stop-startness would definitely be more my kind of, I suppose, when it comes to it, and thinking about, you know, how things maybe could have been done in terms of the league itself as a whole this year.
I'd love to know how it ended up that a Scottish team, a Welsh team, an Irish team, and a Lithuanian team sit around a room and
ended up there.
All four agreed to go to Lithuania.
Oh, do you know what? We were sick. We were watching the draw when it happened in June, and we were like, right, so Glasgow, Grant, and we were all thinking. I think we actually were all writing the group going deadly. Over to Glasgow, I'm sure we'll get a gang load going over there. It's only across the water. And then we come back and we're in Lithuania. I was just like, jeez, this is mind-blowing. But yeah, it's a weird old setup.
Yeah, it definitely, like, I know a lot of factors go into that I don't understand, so I'm not going to pretend to be an expert. Like, one of the big issues is hotels. Like, there has to be sufficient hotels for four teams and
to facilitate. And yeah, exactly. Like, I can imagine in Dublin at the minute, in the current climate, you're you'd probably be staying out someone's back garden at this stage. You know what I mean? Like, that's it's the thing, mad money. Like, it costs you more probably to stay here than to actually go to Lithuania and compete. Do you know?
How big is your garden, Rebecca?
It's actually not very, because get the neighbour on board as well. I have a big field around the back though. Could have thrown a few tents up, no doubt.
Yeah,
it's one of those ones. Like, I'd love to know the decision making process in it, because I think if we have even somewhat close to home advantage, I'd fancy our chances of beating Glasgow and Cardiff. Yeah. I'd fancy our chances.
I do know. I know when the draw happens, they'll go into a room, say the four that are in that group, and it's kind of who wants the host, basically, and you know, put your hand up kind of thing. So I think it was a case that the Lithuanian team, Ginter, did want to host. It may have suited them better. I don't know. It might have suited us better, you know, in terms of, I suppose, putting people up here and hosting the whole thing. So, yeah, it's definitely one to maybe look into to figure out.
When we're back there next year, when we complete another miracle in the league.
Exactly. Stranger things have happened, as we know.
Here, they happened 2 years ago.
Exactly.
People seem dead set on, like, there's a little bit of air of resignation around some people. But how could you discount this team? How could you write them off?
You can't. And you honestly can't discount this league. Like, we were, 11 points behind 2 years ago on the final day, came out on top. You know, I think people are it's very easy for people to kind of look at P Mountain, the role that, or the run they've been on, you know, and obviously with ourselves a little bit behind. But anything can honestly happen in this league. You know, it's been very, very wide open. You know, P Mountain nearly have lost, or, you know, at least got draws against Treaty, who they've yet to play again. You know, they've Galway to play again, and they've Wexford to play again. So listen, you know, we're very much, you know, focused, as I said. All we're going to do from now till the end of the season is focus on us and win the games that we need to, like we did 2 years ago. You know, just get the heads down, get the wins under the belt, and let the rest of it play out as it's going to.
All the pressure's on P-Mount, which is an unbelievable position to be in. Like,
completely.
All on them.
Completely. That's it. Like, and as we said, we emphasise this every single time we play, is just play our own game, you know, focus on ourselves, and you know, the rest will play out as it's meant to. You know, so look, it's theirs to lose right now.
Yeah, I suppose we look at the game then on Saturday, which sees DLR Waves travel to Talk Park in the FAI Cup. In the past 7 meetings, Shells have 6 wins, DLR have 1. Shells, of course, in the league, for themselves second with 11 wins, 8 clean sheets on 34 points. DLR in 8th, 3 wins, 4 draws, 7 clean sheets, 13 points. As I said, it's in the FAI Cup. It will be live on LOI TV Saturday afternoon. It's a big game in itself, Rebecca.
Most definitely, yeah. Yeah, look, as obviously current holders, you know, we want to go out and do the business again. DLR are not a team to be sniffed at. You know, they've got great players within there. You know, obviously quite a young team, but still have a lot to give. You know, I think they've been a team over the last few years that just work. You know, they've got good fitness. They'll work and work and work till the death. And I'm, you know, we'd be very much expecting the same. And in these cup games, you know, anything can happen. People run off league form and how teams played, you know, over the course of time. But in these cup games, it's very much that, you know, they are cup games, and how the I suppose people's you know, approach is to them is that anything does happen on the day. So again, look, obviously we'll go into it with confidence and no complacency, and we'll meet a few kind of players we've come up against, you know, or who have played against us as well, and the likes of Jess Gleeson, who's captain there at the minute, and as I said, look, we'll just be going into it, hopefully with full confidence and hoping to get on to that semi-final, yeah.
I think we have a great chance. I really do.
Of course, yeah.
One win in their last, since the restart, and that was on Penos in the Cup. So,
yeah.
I think it's a perfect setup for us. I really think winning that Cardiff game, I know there's talk about, you know, you're out of the mix, you're not going to progress. But I think the manner in which we won that showed there's a bit about this team, and they want to show exactly what they're made of. So I think they'll bounce into Talca on Saturday. I think they'll be up for it. Like, all the pressure is on P-Mount in the league, but it's our cup. We've come through big tasks to get our hands on it. We had the disappointment the year before last, losing in the final. We got over the line last year. I think we're going to see, like, that first half of the Glasgow game, like Rebecca said, is probably the best footballing half that we've seen from that team in a long time. I think we'll see a really, really good performance in Talca on Saturday.
Yeah. No, and that's it. Like, I actually genuinely really, I know I've been involved with Shells, you know, the last little while, but I actually really enjoyed watching the girls play football, even in training over the course of the week. You know, it was really, really good to watch. And it just looks like it's starting to click, you know. And, you know, when you have those, as I said, the kind of the anchors of the team, and the likes of Noelle, who's probably the fittest she's ever been. You know, she's worked really hard outside of, say, training with Shells. She's done her own thing and got her food right, all these kind of things. And she's like a new player coming into this season, you know, especially the second half of the season. And to finish the way she did the last game, that goal was out of this world. You know, people probably think I'm biased or I'm very one-sided, since she's very much my best friend, and obviously I've played with her a long time. But no one, I don't think, will get near the levels that Noelle has reached, you know, and the kind of impact she's had on this league and this team. And she, you know, is buzzing at the minute with football. And when you have a character like that in the dressing room who can, you know, can lift you and can make you want to go and play and give everything, you know, the rest follows. You've got great leaders in there, as I've mentioned, obviously, with the Pearls and the Rachels. But, you know, you've got these young girls coming through who are very much on board with what we're trying to do. And they want to reach these levels. They want to experience these days. Like, we emphasise these experiences that we've all had in previous years of winning FAI Cups and the days out, you know, say, previously, obviously, the Aviva, but more recently with Tallaght Stadium, and, you know, the fans getting behind it, and just the whole buzz of the FAI Cup. I don't think anything compares to it, you know. And we kind of been kind of the American girls are very much eager to experience those final days. So, yeah, as you said, Aaron, look, the attitudes from the girls this week is to get back in. You know, they're all raring to go. I'm sure they're probably sick of each other at the minute, but I'm sure by tomorrow night they'll be looking forward to getting into training on Wednesday to go again this weekend. So, yeah, look, as I said, very much up for it, very much want to make and prove our point that we're looking to take that cup, or keep that cup, I should say.
I think we need a 10-minute segment just on Noelle's goal, because yeah. I've watched it about 3,000 times now, I'd say, and just the technique is unbelievable. Yeah. Like, she perfectly hit the ball, knew exactly where it was going as soon as it left her laces. It is an absolute masterpiece. Like, it's amazing.
It was amazing. It was right in front of where we were sitting, like the dugout, and as soon as it left our boot, you could hear it, like the noise off it. You knew it was going top corner, you know. And I think she probably knew herself. She turned around before it even went in. I don't know if you can see from the, I've watched the video myself. She was slagging me over the day of the game. She's like, "Will you stop watching that?" Because all you could hear was just the roars. But Megan Smith Lynch's reaction in it is fantastic as well. But look, she just pulls it out of the bag every single time, you know. She's just playing with that confidence. I think she always played with confidence anyway, but, you know, she's got an even fuller confidence, I suppose, in herself as a person. So, look, she's enjoying her football, you know. And when you have, as I said, a character like Noelle leading the front line there, you know, everything else falls in behind. And there's definitely a great buzz around the group at the minute.
How big is Noelle as, like, an inspiration to the younger players? Because you talked about how she's in the best form, best shape of her life. Like, she's nothing left to prove in this league. She'd probably be in a Hall of Fame, a team of the century. But for this season, she's gone and she's got herself in that condition. And she's playing she's just brilliant, like unplayable at times. How much do younger players take from that? Because, like, they look at someone like Noelle, who's done everything there is to do in the domestic women's game in Ireland, and still is trying to become better and level up.
Yeah, like, she's a competitor, you know. No matter what Noelle is playing, it could be tiddlywinks, she's wanting to win, you know what I mean? And she'd probably kill someone to get to that point. I think the thing with Noelle is, like, I think as she's got older now, and you know, she's got a bit more of a sentiment about her, that she knows that, look, you know, football doesn't last forever, but she's wanting to I suppose, enjoy every minute that she can. And that's where she's at right now. I think she's so comfortable, you know, and in terms of you know, playing football right now. And she's, as you said, look, nothing left to prove. And she's just playing with that freedom. And when I talk about sentiment, I think before that Glasgow game, she'd probably kill me even saying this, but she had this kind of thing in her head that she wanted to, you know, write a note for everybody within the team, the whole squad, the players that were starting, and the subs as well. You know, kind of personalising it for them, you know, and kind of giving people that confidence going into the game, the attributes that they bring to the dressing room, the team on the pitch, off the pitch, you know, same thing for all the squad players, just letting them know that, look, 11 people aren't going to go out and win this game. You know, it's going to take a whole squad effort. And that's a different side to Noelle that maybe, you know, people don't see. They see this whole, you know, Noelle, she's done shut up or she's giving it the large on the pitch and whatever. But she has got that other side where she, you know, Shelbourne means so much to her, you know, and winning means so much to her. And I think when you have that combined with enjoying the game, playing with a smile on your face. And I said this to her before the game because she obviously had wrote these notes for everyone else. I gave her one. I said, look, you play best when you're playing with a smile on your face, with that freedom, you know, when you're enjoying your football. And she does. And you know, she's just expressing herself now. And I think when you see this within the squad, you know, people, the likes of the younger girls, maybe have been a little bit intimidated over the years by Noelle, but she's so, like, you know, it's completely opposite the impression that people probably have of her. Really, really, you know, is a great player to have around. She'll put her arm around the younger ones when they need it. She'll tell you to step up when you have to. And as I said, look, at the minute, she's just enjoying playing football and wants to go and win. And you need that winning mentality. And we have it with the experience in the squad and obviously the girls, the ones in between, the Alex Kavanaghs and the Megan Lynches and the Kivas, you know, they've all been here before. So as I said, we've got that kind of, you know, more, I don't like to call them older because I'm that age as well, but the more experienced girls at the one end of the scale, you know, we've got that kind of the group in between the 20s, the mid 20s and early 20s. And then you have that batch of just youth, you know, coming through and they're just getting to see these girls and play with these girls and train with these girls every single week. And it's fantastic. And you know what, I'm quite scared for how far they'll all go in the future.
Yeah, I think the good thing about Noelle as well, and me and Shauna always say on commentary, is that she could be having the quietest game ever and she'll just pop up with a bit of magic, nutmeg somebody or just take a shot on, put players under pressure, etc. Like, she's such a quality player. And yeah, I think the goal just shows how good she is, and I think shows how much she means to the club. You mentioned there about the squad, though. I think that's very interesting. You know, there was 4 new signings brought in before the trip to Europe. And then obviously, I think it's fair to say, 2 probably of fans' favourites at the minute, with Maggie Pearce and Chrissy Gray. Chrissy Gray even conducted an interview over there in Lithuania.
Whoever's responsible for that.
I'm saying nothing.
How have they all settled in? You know, how do they set? How obviously they have the more experienced girls that you said helping them settle in. But coming across from a foreign country into the League of Ireland, it's no easy feat to just settle in. And I feel especially Maggie, I think you could argue that Maggie's probably been one of our players of the season. So how good have they been?
Yeah, I'll go as far as saying probably the player of the year so far in the league. Like, she's just so consistently good. You know, she's just that player who is always there. As I said, she plays with such calm and composure, and you know, she'll make those crunching tackles if she has to, and she'll put her body on the line, but she just reads the game so well. And herself and Christy have just immersed themselves in the culture of Shelbourne. You know, they absolutely adore it. Like, they love it. And, you know, the same with the other girls that we signed recently. You know, they just want to be involved in everything that is Shelbourne. You know, we'll go to the men's games on a Friday after training. They're down there and they're wanting to see it. And I think I don't know if it was Libby who we signed and Morgan came to the Pats game. And that was probably one of the best games to ever be at, you know, in terms of atmosphere and the result for the lads. And they were just fascinated, you know, recording everything and the whole lot. But, and the same, obviously, we've got Katrin Graverson come in as well and Natasha Shirazi, the 2 Danish girls. And look, as I said, they just get it, you know. We've kind of, I suppose, told them everything that they need to know about the club. And I think they've seen it across, you know, watching obviously the games or being involved in games and obviously the social media side of things as well. But they absolutely adore it. And it's great to have people that want to be at the club and want to play for this club and enjoy doing it at the same time. You know, I think, and I'll probably get a bit backlash for this, but, you know, and a bit biased, I suppose, as well. But I think we're probably one of the best footballing teams, if not the best footballing teams in the league, you know. And when you're playing in that environment with these great football players each week, you know, it makes it that much easier. And yeah, they've just settled really well. All the girls here are fantastic with them. You know, everyone makes an effort with them. And I think, you know, and I always said to them before, well, you know, when they came over, first I kind of set up a little WhatsApp group with them to say, look, if you need anything at all, give me a shout, you know, whether it be lifts, whether it be, you know, information on where to go in the city, all these kind of things. Because, look, I've been away, you know, from my family playing you know, going to college, things like that. And I get it, like, you know, when especially when it's raining like that outside, you know, you kind of have those days where you're like, shit, you know, I miss the family, or I miss, you know, my life back home, or, you know, all these kind of things can kind of run through your head, especially when you have that little bit of idle time, you know. But as I said, look, they've got in amongst it, and that's all you can ask for. You know, they're very much invested in Shelburne Football Club, and I hope they'll be here for a little bit of time, yeah.
So to put a full stop on the European shenanigans, Rebecca, what's the main takeaway you took from Lithuania in comparison to the trip last year?
Yeah, look, I just think in terms of, you know, organising and things like that, we kind of, I suppose, the approach we had going out there was get things organised early, you know, in terms of gear and, you know, personnel going out there and what way it was going to work. And I think we did that the right way, you know, and everyone was very much fully there, you know, and wanted to be there. We got a new kit man come in as well, Ross Murray, who was brilliant across the trip, and with all the girls, you know, and I think the approach from everybody was, you know, just to go out there and give a good account of ourselves, and they very much did that. You know, their fitness has been fantastic. I have to give a shout out to Davey O'Connor, who's the strength and conditioning coach there with ourselves, and he just invests so much of his time in the girls, you know, whether it's giving them programs, you know, in the off season or, you know, outside of training sessions, he's always there and he's always available. And not just on the physical side, you know, emotionally, mentally, he's there as a kind of someone to lean on. You know, so look, I think it was just a case that we had to kind of settle down after the upheaval and before the season started, you know, with personnel leaving and kind of a core group that left the club. And I think once we got ourselves together and got the feet on the ground and got some great signings in, you know, everything else has just clicked, and we're very much together. And I think it's probably the most together I've seen us in a long time. You know, so it's a very exciting time to be involved, and you know, everyone's enjoying it. And as I said, it's just about getting the head down now for the rest of the season and trying to bring in some silverware.
Don't want to go back to bad times, but that was a rough patch over Christmas with the players leaving and the controversy that came out of it. It just became a little bit of a circus. Like, how important was that for players in kind of galvanizing the group and kind of getting that bit of Shells mentality of it's us against the world here?
Yeah, like, come here. I think it comes with you know, the title of being champions, you know, and I suppose we've been blessed, you know, the older ones of the group, we've been blessed to be on the better end of results over years with Raheen United and obviously Shelburne, where the majority of people probably don't like you, you know, unless they're playing with you. And that's just the way you get on with it. You just have to deal with that. And look, pressure is part of this game. And me personally, I love it. And I know the girls love it too. And they boded well with them as they went. And I think a little bit of pressure maybe was taken off the team in the fact that, like, you know, we had a mass exodus to a team that maybe had to prove themselves. And look, fair dues to the girls. You'd never, ever take that away from them. They have to make these decisions for themselves, and they've done that. And I think at the time it was very emotionally charged, and a little bit of shock, you know, was there for ourselves, for certain people going. And now, look, that's all died down now. You understand that people make these decisions for themselves, and that's fine. You know, we just let the football do the talking in the end. And I think a little bit of it kicked in that, look, whoever wants to be at Shells will be at Shells and is at Shells. And it's just about coming together and digging deep. And that's what they've done. You know, it was a case of just keeping people's feet on the ground and not getting overly invested in, you know, what's been said on social media or what this person is saying or what that person is saying. And Pearl has been fantastic in that sense. You know, she speaks so much sense to the girls, you know, and I suppose keeping them at that level kind of headedness, if that makes sense. And I think it's kind of served us well with the group that have come in. You know, they've done really well in settling, and it's just given us that extra drive to go and want to still compete and want to win and prove that, look, we still have it, no matter who we have within the club. You know, it's just about being invested in what we have to do and what we are looking to you know, the way we're looking to compete, I should say. And we've got some, as I said, fantastic signings. I keep mentioning the internationals, but again, we have the Kerry Lettmans, you know, we've Nadine Clare, all these great girls. Obviously, Amanda McQuillan came back to us from being away in the States, and she's someone who has played underage for Shells, so she's another one that gets it. So, as I said, look, there's a great cohesiveness there. You know, all that stuff is very, very, very much in the past. Like, you know, you nearly forget it's happened. And we've moved on very much so from it. And look, everyone's in great, great terms with the girls that did leave. So look, for us, just about focusing on ourselves, as I said, and playing football and turning up each week.
It's a mad thing. Like, you're definitely glad it's over. I don't have any fondness looking back on that week before Christmas and the stress it probably would have been for a few people around the place. But when you think about it now, it's like, you know, those departures were genuinely back page news. And it probably was a moment where, like, in a weird way, I'm not saying it elevated the league, but certainly it brought an awful lot more eyeballs. Now, for good reasons or bad reasons, you don't know.
Yeah.
But like, from when you started the game to where it is now, is it hard to recognize it in terms of that interest and that kind of that spotlight that's on just the game in general?
Yeah, like, as you said, look, it probably, you know, it did elevate everyone's eyes to it. And people that, you know, my dad's friends who probably just were invested in League of Ireland and Leinster Senior League over the years are asking me about, you know, Abby Larkin and all these other players. Like, how do you know? Do you know what I mean? But that, obviously, that's great. You know, obviously, you don't want any kind of fracas going on. But it did elevate the league, I suppose, in a weird, unconventional way. And yeah, look, it's a case that I suppose, you know, it's kind of looking back on it from when I started, not many people knew who was going where and why they were going, or, you know, what kind of, I suppose, what they had to offer for other teams. But now you've so many eyes on the game, you know, people know what kind of players are or what players are like. And, you know, I think social media maybe has a lot to play in that as well. I'm kind of very much myself. I have to kind of nearly tiptoe around on Twitter, because back in the day, you could nearly, you know, you'd be saying things and no one would take any heed of it. Nowadays, you say something, man, Jesus, it comes from everywhere, you know, that kind of way. So, listen, it's good and bad. You know, you definitely have to watch what you do and say. But, yeah, look, there's been so many factors, I suppose, in how far this league has come on. Obviously, the volunteers throughout the leagues, you know, throughout each county, I suppose, in the league that's involved have done immense work before, say, all this kind of stuff that went on last year and the World Cup, you know, making the World Cup. There's been so much work and time and effort gone into it. And gradually, slowly but surely, we've got a lot of media attention, you know, and people are shown the games, like the TG Carr getting on board, and it's been covered. And myself even, like, being involved in 2FM with slots, you know, every week to cover women's football. And obviously then the World Cup itself and how well the Irish women's team have done. So there's been so many different factors that have kind of brought us on. Yeah, look, we've come a long way, you know, and I always say this year on year, we have come so far in the women's league, you know, and women's football in this country, but there is still so much more we need to do and so much longer, you know, further to go, I should say, in terms of, you know, funding, as I said, investment in the game, you know, facilities, all these kind of things, you know, are obviously basics in improving our game here. So, look, I do hope there's a bit of momentum after building after, you know, the success of women's football and the international scene. Over the course of the year, and obviously, you know, domestically as well, there's some fantastic obviously players and teams within this league. So yeah, look, as I said, we've definitely done well so far, and hopefully can keep improving on things.
Where would you start? Like, if what's the next thing to get us to a new level? Because it does seem like the growth has been kind of, it's been rocket ship in the last 18 months, the last 2 years. What's the next thing that needs to happen to push us on?
Yeah, look, as I said, look, I think that the mainstay and probably the key thing for anything to keep improving or go further is investment, you know. And look, I think we've got people's eyes and people are listening now and they're wanting to see what women's football can do in this country. But it's about just people. Obviously, we've invested so much time, or people have invested so much of their own personal time over the course of this national league, you know, and a lot of them volunteers. But we need to invest, you know, money. We need to get people behind it and you know, want to be involved. And I look, obviously, that's been it. There's been a lot of, I suppose, interest across the league, and especially obviously with Shells, you know, and sponsorship with TU Dublin, you know, and there's been, you know, so many, obviously Best Drive have been there with us as well for a long time, Blackadder, whoever it may be. They've all wanted to get in behind it, and they've kind of, you know, enjoyed what we obviously bring to them and us to and them to us, I should say. But it's just investment. I think facilities just need to improve across the board for women. There needs to be a lot more done on that side of things, and you know, getting, you know, maybe obviously I know we've kind of got a base out in the AUL now, but I think the main thing for me is obviously investment, and not just in time, but for financially, you know, and that, you know, sadly money does make the world go round. So, you know, just a little bit more in that sense. We're getting there in the media side of things. You know, there is a lot more people wanting to be involved in their game and wanting to show it week on week, report on it. It's always improving. As I said, we've come so far, but again, with that side of things, there's always more to be done. There's so much great talent in this country. There's so much, you know, great personnel involved in this women's game. And I would love to see, you know, we've got some great coaches across the board. A lot of them do work for the FAI. And I think with that conflict of interest sometimes as well, it kind of debilitates their ability to be involved in this National League. You know, it's just one of those things, I suppose. But yeah, look, few more women coaches as well. I think, you know, when they finish up playing, the likes of Pearl and Rachel will be people maybe to get involved, and that's something exciting to look forward to as well when they hang the boots up. But investment is definitely key.
I wonder what odds the bookies would give you on Luke Byrne as men's manager, Pearl as women's manager.
I know, it'd be interesting, wouldn't it? Mm-hmm. It wouldn't be a bad show.
It'll happen,
I guarantee it.
Yeah.
Two of the best captains we've ever had, I would say. I can see it.
Absolutely. I suppose that puts a good bow on things to finish up the European chat. But we did speak earlier about a new segment for the show, the Richie Rankings. We're going to run through it now. It's the Richie Rankings is essentially the 1895 podcast patented way of dissecting who are the winners and who are the losers of the week that was in Irish football, separating the good guys and gals in life, i.e. the Richie Bakers, from the bad guys and gals, i.e. the Richie Winters. So we're all going to pick somebody to be the Richie Baker of the week / the Richie Winter of the week. Darren, do you want to get us underway with the Richie Baker of the week for you?
I'm going to give it to Katie McCabe, my first ever one. Ballon d'Or nominee, former Reds, brilliant ambassador for the country. Probably come in for some unfair stick in some quarters over the last while, even though she's been amazing. She's the third Shells player to be nominated for that award, I believe. Her former. Tony Dorn in 66 and Jimmy Johnson the following year in 67. So Katie McCabe, my Richie Baker of the week. Do you want to do the good Richies first and then we'll do the bad Richies after?
Yeah, I suppose I'll go. My good Richie of the week is Noel Murray. I don't think you can look forward to than Noel's goal last week against Cardiff. Just pure quality. I think Noel's a great servant of the club, a great ambassador for the club as well. And, you know, you heard Rebecca talking about earlier on, it just shows the class that she is and how much she means to her teammates.
Yeah, lads, you have to leave me in a bit of a predicament too, the ones I probably would have picked. I think, like, look, come here, Katie won't mind if I say Noel. I think Noel for me as well, just that pick of the goal, you know, that goal was definitely pick of the week, you know, it was a fantastic finish. You know, I think she was out to prove a point in that second game, and she most certainly did that. Obviously, shout out to Katie for all she's achieved. But, you know, she's got all the accolades and all the recognition the last little while. So we'll give that one to Noel, yeah.
Yeah, and I suppose the losers of the week, the Richie Winters of the Richie Rankings this week. I'm going to go with Stephen Kenny. I was at the Ireland game last night. And unfortunately, I just think it's time to go. I think when the next manager comes in, I think Kenny will have left a certain legacy of bringing young players through and stuff like that. But unfortunately, in international football, it's a results business. And I'm going to give it to Stephen Kenny. Sorry, Dar, I know that was your pick as well, but I got there before you. Who's your Richie Winter of the week there?
You got there before me, so I'll let you have it. It's a fair pick, Adam. I probably agree with you, to be honest. I think how good we were against the Netherlands and we weren't able to kill them off, I think with a better, more pragmatic coach, maybe you do kill off that game. Like, we battered them for 45 minutes. We should have been more than a goal up. We let them back in fairly soft. It was a bad goal to give away. And then we managed to snatch another glorious, you know, proud defeat. I hate this kind of, I don't know what it, like, it's real, like, I don't know, condescending. Like, oh, sure, we played well, but we didn't win, but we played well anyway. Like, I don't know any footballer who wants to play well and lose. Like, it doesn't make sense to me. So I go with it. I agree with it. Mine is another international manager. I'm going to give my Richie Winter to Vera Pauw. It says a lot that people who have never shown an interest in women's football are the ones that think that she was harshly or unfairly treated, where the people who are very close to the game in Ireland are keeping their counsel or saying it's the right move for Irish football. So I do think going on and doing a 55-minute interview where you slate your assistant manager, you slate your backroom, you slate your players, you slate your boss, you slate everyone, is just not dignified or the right way to handle a grievance or an issue. So my Richie Winter is Vera Pauw.
Won't say too much on that now. I think that the silence is deafening across the board for people who have worked alongside her, I suppose, in a competitive stance. So that's all I'll say on that side of things. But yeah, I don't know, my loser for the week, probably whoever organised for us to travel about 15 hours home from the morning, I heard Christy Gray's dad got home to Canada before we got from Lithuania to Dublin. So yeah, I don't know if it's the whole lot of us that travel there, the losers, or whoever organised it. But yeah, it was a rough old day yesterday, to say the least.
Yeah, we'll find out who was in charge of the travel and we give them a bit of a telling off. I don't know.
I'll let me know where they live. I like
to go. It was Aaron Dunman, I believe, who organised the travel.
Grant. Mm. We'll have a word.
Oh, Sean Cook's going to love that.
The last time I tentatively mentioned Liam Ward in connection with Lithuania, I got given out to him and was told,
he'll have your head there.
It was nothing to do with me. Don't defame me on the podcast. So with the avoidance of doubt, I don't believe Liam Ward had anything to do with Lithuania.
Come here. I can't imagine anyone doing it out of in badness. Do you know what I mean? It's just one of those things. But come here. What can you do? We made it home in one piece. That's the main thing, as I said.
I do believe Liam Ward made it home about 8 hours earlier than everyone else. I heard he got a better flight.
I wouldn't be surprised. First class.
God. Yeah, all the players in economy, Liam up with the pilot.
Us rowing home in a dinghy.
Yeah. I think that's a nice way to end this week. And anyways, Rebecca, thanks a million for joining us and detailing everything that happened in Lithuania. Darren, pleasure as always.
Thanks, Ads.
No worries. Then.
Cheers for having me, lads.
And do check out the game live on Saturday on LOI TV. If you can't get to Talk Park, do try your absolute utmost to get to Talk Park. Support this team. A very good side, as we all know. And as I said, thanks again for joining us.
We should probably give an update on that. Obviously, there was no streaming for the last game due to the technical problem. People might notice, but Shells, as a club, we're not actually responsible for the streaming of our women's team or our men's team. It's at the auspices of the FAI. They have a central agreement with an outside provider, LOI TV, who look after the streaming. So when a streaming fails, it's not the club who have messed up or dropped the ball. We're not technically allowed to stream our own games. It has to be via LOI TV. So there was an issue with Pixelot. I was told it was repaired. Same issue again. Told there'll be a replacement unit installed at Talca on Wednesday. So I know a lot of people were upset and frustrated by the lack of coverage of, I think it was the Athlone game, and obviously completely understand why. The club have asked the FAI in the strongest possible terms to guarantee that there will be streaming up and running for this game, and they said they're all over it.
Mm. Better yet, just get out to Talca Park.
Yeah, that's it.
There you go.
Either that or you're listening to me and Sean and his father, so that's the best way to end it. Thanks, Mill, for joining us, and we'll hear from you all again soon.
This podcast was brought to you by Off the Ball, official media partner of Shelburne FC. For all the latest sports news, visit otbsports.com. Rest in the sunset. One.